Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
We've got some good news about robocallers, finally. Al sent me the story, and this is good news. Christmas has come early, my friends, or whatever holiday it is that you celebrate that involves gifts. This is it. And this is from justice.gov. This is from the Justice Department's own website. Owner and operator of India-based call centers sentenced to prison for scamming U.S. victims out of millions of dollars. Prison time for a robocaller. An Indian national was sentenced today to 20 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release in Texas for his role in operating and funding India-based call centers that defrauded U.S. victims out of millions of dollars between 2013 and 2016. The man's 44 years old. He was sentenced by the U.S. District Judge for the charges of wire fraud, conspiracy, and general conspiracy to commit identification fraud, access device fraud, money laundering, and impersonation of a federal employee or officer. He's ordered to pay restitution of $8.9 million, and much of that money will go back to the victims, according to the Justice Department's own press release. Now, here's the quote by the Acting Attorney General, Brian C. Rabbit, of the Justice Department's Criminal Division. The defendant defrauded vulnerable U.S. victims out of tens of millions of dollars by spearheading a conspiracy whose members boldly impersonated federal government officials and preyed on victims' fears of adverse government action. We all know people who've gotten a phone call, and I've gotten them, where they claim to either be the FBI, the IRS, or somebody else, and they say, we are calling to let you know you're about to be arrested unless you do the following things. And so it's a scam, and they finally busted one of the people who's running the scam. Today's sentence demonstrates the department's commitments to prosecuting high-level perpetrators of such nefarious schemes. Even fraudsters operating scams from beyond our borders are not beyond the reach of the U.S. judicial system. A U.S. attorney from the Southern District of Texas said, the long arm of federal law enforcement was key to bringing this con artist to justice. Transnational call center scams are complex cases to investigate and prosecute, but our agencies are up to the task. Many of these fraudsters prey on the most vulnerable from the perceived safety of foreign lands, so there's no sorrow in seeing him head to prison. His access to a phone is now greatly diminished across the globe. U.S. law enforcement is chasing and dismantling these schemes. So he's pointing out the irony that a guy who had made millions and millions and millions of robocalls will now have to actually get permission to use a phone, and his phones will be monitored. For years, this individual preyed on the fears of his victims to perpetuate a global scheme to manipulate U.S. institutions and taxpayers. This now is special agent in charge, Mark Dawson, and he's from Homeland Security. Working with our law enforcement partners around the globe, we have successfully executed the first ever large-scale multi-jurisdictional investigation and prosecution targeting the India call center scam industry to hold him accountable for his illegal acts and to deter similar scams in the future. So you might remember, we've talked about this many times, that Americans are subjected to unprecedented numbers of phone calls, which are attempts to fraudulently get your money. And so, like I said, this guy here is going away for 20 years in a federal sentence. And for those of you who are curious, it's often the case that if you get sentenced in a state and they say you're going to get 10 years, you might be out in 7, you might be out in 5 based on good behavior. Federal sentencing, they have what they call truth in sentencing. They say you get 20 years, you get 20 years. That's it. According to admissions in his plea agreement, this guy admits to the following things. He and his co-conspirators perpetrated a complex scheme in which employees from call centers in India impersonated officials from the IRS and from the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services and engaged in other telephone call scams designed to defraud victims throughout the U.S. The victims were threatened with arrest, imprisonment, fines, or deportation if they did not pay alleged monies owed to the government. Those who fell victim were instructed how to provide payment, including by purchasing gift cards or wiring money. Upon payment, the call centers would immediately turn to a network of runners based in the U.S. to liquidate and launder the fraudulently obtained funds. And yeah, this involved a lot of people at a lot of different levels. In his plea, the main guy here admitted to operating and funding several India-based call centers from which the fraud schemes were perpetrated, including a call center called H Global. He corresponded by email and WhatsApp messaging frequently with his co-defendants to exchange credit card numbers, telephone scam scripts, and call center operation instructions. The scripts included IRS impersonation, USCIS impersonation, Canada Revenue Agency impersonation, Australian Tax Office impersonation, payday loan fraud, U.S. government grant fraud, and debt collection fraud. So, as you may guess from that, this is not limited just to the U.S. It's also happening in Canada and Australia. So, our Canadian friends and Australian friends should recognize that, hey, we've done them a solid here. A co-defendant described the main guy as the top person in India and the boss for whom most of the other defendants worked. He was the owner of multiple call centers. Another co-defendant stated that the man was arrested in India in 2016, but then he was released after he paid a bribe. So he bribed somebody and he got away. Additionally, he admitted that a reasonably foreseeable loss of more than $25 million was attributable to him based on the government's evidence against him. He was prosecuted in the U.S. after being extradited from Singapore in April of 2019, and he there faced charges in the large-scale telefraud and money laundering scheme. Singapore authorities apprehended him at the request of the United States pursuant to a provisional arrest warrant in September of 2018 after he flew there from India. So I've had people tell me, they say, well, you know, Steve, these people get away. Once they're out of the country, they're good. Well, no, we can actually grab people in other countries with the help, of course, of, you know, other authorities. But it does look like he got picked up in India, escaped by bribing somebody, fled to Singapore, where Singapore authorities picked him up for us. So thank you very much, guys. The indictment in this case was unsealed in October 2016, and it charged the main guy and 60 other individuals. 60 other individuals. A total of 24 domestic defendants associated with this scheme were previously convicted and sentenced to terms of imprisonment of up to 20 years in the Southern District of Texas, District of Arizona, and the Northern District of Georgia. So it looks like 24 people were previously convicted. And right now, this guy is convicted, and he's going to get 20 years in prison. Right now, he's 44 years old. So there's a couple different ways you can look at this. One is, where will he be when he's 64? Just getting out of prison. But I've said this before. You know, where were you 20 years ago? Think back and think, okay, imagine where you're going to be 20 years from now. 20 years from now. At that moment in time, if you remember, you can go, oh, that Indian guy just got out of jail. So here's the thing. Apparently, he's been ordered to pay some money, and it looks like he may have some money. So they can get that money back, and they've identified some victims, and it looks like some of the victims will get some of their money back. That's one of the things that people often ask when I do a story, and I talk about how the government prosecuted somebody, and they got fined some insane amount of money. Or they're ordered to pay money. People go, where'd the money go? Well, the money often does go to compensate victims. But as you can imagine, in a situation like this, they don't know who all the victims are. Because most people, when they get a call from the government saying you owe us money, and then they pay the money, and they think they've solved their problem, they're not going to immediately go, oh, I've been ripped off, and call the police. So a lot of people would not step forward back when it happened. And of course, now, I don't know if they're making efforts to notify people about this, but if you got ripped off or you know somebody who did, you might want to check out the justice.gov website and see if there's any way to get involved in this if, in fact, you were a victim. So that's a good thing. They can give some of the money back. And, of course, the fact that they got 24 other people means that right now, this high-level math here, they got 25 convictions on this one call center. And what's really mind-boggling to me when I think about this is back up to 2014, 2015, right at the height of this guy's operation. Someplace in India, there's a business. Looks like a call center. We've seen pictures of call centers. It's cubicle farms, right? People wearing the headsets, and they got a computer that's auto-dialing for them. And all these people are doing is reading off a script to rip off Americans, to rip off Canadians, and rip off Australians. And you wonder, are jobs so hard to find that people just will, oh, I'm going to rip off Americans? Great, great. Because you understand that you can't just read the script the way you read the script selling auto insurance. Because if you just say, you know, hi, I'm calling from the IRS. I'm wondering if you want to pay us a couple $1,000 because your car was found burning on the Mexican border. Oh, no, okay, thanks. No, they actually have to act and get into it and lean into the person a little bit to make it work. So there's actually willing people doing this, a lot of them. And I'm sure they're paying them very, very well, giving them a slice, you know, big commission or whatever. But to me, I don't know why, but the image of that large of an organization with that many people so obviously ripping people off blows my mind. It does. I'm not saying I can't comprehend it. I can. But just, you know, if you ever go through a big city, you're driving through a big city, Los Angeles, New York, whatever, and you see the tall skyscrapers, and you imagine people in there are working, right? And it's this just generic work. If you walk through without seeing the sign of the door, you might not be able to guess what they're doing. You see, you know, tables with paper on them, people walking back and forth, people knocking on doors, people having conversations, people on the phone, right? Or you see a call center, you go, oh, they're selling stuff or something, right? I don't know why. It just really, really boggles my mind. Entire call centers devoted to doing nothing but rip people off on a large scale. So, you know, I can think of other things that if I was the dictator who got to do whatever he wanted over the entire planet, I wouldn't be invoking the legal system here. I'd be stepping it up a little bit. But unfortunately, all we can do these days is the legal system, legally. So this guy going to prison for 20 years, 24 of his cohorts also already been convicted. It's a start. It's a start. But they still need to shut this down and choke it at the phone level. That is, go after the phone companies for allowing this to happen. But it's another story altogether. Al, thanks for sending it to me. Justice Department, thanks for doing it. Owner and operator of India-based call centers, sentenced to prison for scamming U.S. victims out of millions of dollars, 20 years in prison. Good. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I love deadlines. I love the whooshing noise they make as they go by.